guess what day it is.
It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. Wednesday.
It's Best of Elves Podcast.
That's like the coolest thing I ever heard.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever it may be while you are listening to this on this frigid Wednesday morning here in South Carolina. I'm convinced weather is broken. This is the coldest I feel like it's ever been since I've been here in the South. I woke up, looked at the weather, and it was 27 degrees. What? Something? That doesn't make sense. 27 degrees in South Carolina? In the Charleston area? That's nuts. Something's wrong. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. It could have snowed. If it was, there was rain, it could have snowed here. I'm not about that life anymore. That's crazy. So, I don't know. It's weather's broken. Anyways, I want to start with this. It's been a little while, but time to, let's do the blooper reel.
Lord Jesus.
Okay, so, your boy, Pastor Adam, made the blooper reel this week. 100% my fault, obviously. Usually when you blooper reel, it's your fault. But I didn't turn my microphone on. And we started the song. I go into the guitar stuff, go to sing, nothing. Then I have to turn it on. Now, by that time, my pro presenter, lyric person, is confused because she doesn't know. She doesn't hear me. I know we're not going to get back on track. So I stopped the song. I know it's the sin of all sins when it comes to worship service of stopping a song and redoing it. But sometimes it's Christmas. We give ourselves a gift. So instead of struggling along for another minute, making everybody uncomfortable, we're just going to stop. We're going to reset and do it. So check this out.
Good morning, Boy North. Let's go ahead and stand and praise the Lord.
Hold on a second. We're just going to start this over. I didn't have a microphone on.
Here we go.
Sometimes we get do-overs.
Not my best moment. I was frustrated. You know, when something like that happens, your whole guitar playing, singing, everything for the rest of the service, just it's hindered, and I didn't feel that I participated to the best of my abilities. I was very upset about that, and I was frustrated the rest of it, and that's not cool. So yeah. Thought I would share that with you, give you a little chuckle. Look at how he blew it on that one. So, yeah. But something else occurred to me the other day. This is what we're going to talk about today. I was driving to Columbia, South Carolina, listening to the radio, which happened to be all Christmas music. I was singing along with the songs. You know, we got songs like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa's Coming to Town, Oh Holy Night, Oh Come Emmanuel. All across the board, having a good time singing it. And I started thinking about these songs being old, so old. And then I was like, what newer Christmas songs have come out that's like, you know, really grabbed a hold of the world and become staples in the music industry, like the music listening experience if you were to turn on the radio. And I'm talking both, you know, Christian and secular Christmas tunes, like across the board. What's the newer ones, right? And I think the last one that was just widely accepted and embraced, that's not a cover, by the way. Like, lots of people, you know, the pop stars from nowadays come out with their own Christmas albums, but they just cover all this stuff and they get radio airplay. I'm talking about originals. So I think the last one was in 1994, and that was Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, which, by the way, everybody complains about, but it's a banger. That's a good one. That's a real good one. That's why it's been embraced so much. But before Mariah Carey's, we have to go to the 80s, we had Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time, Wham's Last Christmas, and probably the last one is from 1987 is Run DMC's Christmas in Hollis. That's a good one too. But the last Christian songs to gain popularity, to get some time on the radio, but not necessarily like super heavy rotation, is Mary Did You Know, which is crazy. So I actually have a list of the Christmas songs and when they came out. So I was interested in this. And so if we're talking secular Christmas songs, you know, they don't talk about God or anything like that. We get to go back to 1850, we have Jingle Bells. And then in 1862, we have Deck the Halls. And then we fast forward to the 30s, and we get Winter Wonderland and Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. That's in 34. And then 1940s, White Christmas, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, I'll Be Home for Christmas, The Christmas Song, Let It Snow, All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth, Sleigh Ride, and Mele Kalikimaka. Those are in the 40s. In the 50s, we have Silver Bells. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, Santa Baby, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, Jingle Bell Rock, Blue Christmas, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Those are all from the 50s. Then in the 60s, Baby Please Come Home. It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Holly Jolly Christmas, Christmas Time Is Here, It's Cold Outside, and Frosty the Snowman. Only one in the 70s, and that is Feliz Navidad. Then in the 80s, like I said, we have Wonderful Christmas Time, Christmas Don't Be Late, Last Christmas, Christmas in Hollis. And then in the 90s, we have All I Want for Christmas Is You. Now, when it comes to like the Christian hymn Christmas songs, that started in 1650. We have God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Then in the 1700s, we only have four. O Come All Ye Faithful, Joy to the World, Hark the Herald, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Then in the 1800s, but we're talking from 1818 to 1895. Silent Night, The First Noel, O Tannenbaum, O Little Town of Bethlehem, O Holy Night, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, O Come Emmanuel, We Three Kings, Go Tell on the Mountain, What Child Is This, Angels We've Heard on High, Away in the Manger. In the 40s, so in more modern times, we had Little Drummer Boy, which I thought was like, would have been older than the 40s, but. And then 1962, Do You Hear What I Hear? Again, I thought that was older than that. And then, like I said earlier, Mary Did You Know in 1984. But if I'm looking at these, just the hymns, you had one in the 1600s, four in the 1700s, you had 10 in the 1800s. No, 12. So that's 1.2 every 10 years. Little Drummer Boy in the 40s. So, and even if you look at the secular ones in the 40s, we had eight. In the 50s, we had eight. In the 60s, we had seven. There's not a lot of Christmas songs that you can write and that are accepted. Every year, I hear all sorts of new Christmas songs. And most of the time, I hear it once, and that's the last I hear of it. It's just hard to make a Christmas song. So we have heavy rotation from secular songs from the 30s and 50s. Few in the 60s and 70s, and sprinkle in those 80s songs. But when it comes to the popular Christian, or hymns they should be called, we get all those from the 1600s to the 1800s. So here's the epiphany that came into play for me. I get from a lot of older, maybe more mature church members, is that they want to hear more hymns. And this is not just at Christmas. This is every day. Every Sunday they want to hear more hymns. Because I don't do a ton of hymns. I do some, for sure. But I do try to make them sound a little more current when I do, or I give them to someone else on my team to sing and lead, because hymns are just not really my thing. And I find hymns to be sort of, I don't know, I don't really connect with them like other songs. I don't hate hymns. I actually love It As Well. I think How Great Thou Art is good. Amazing Grace, you know, you can't go wrong with that. Be Thou My Vision, solid. Jesus Paid It All, I dig it. You know, like, there's some good songs, but I'm not like, those are the best ever, right? But I think when I think of the Christmas songs, I love the old hymns like O Come Emmanuel, Hark the Herald, O Holy Night, Silent Night, Joy to the World. All those things, I need to hear them every Christmas. I need to sing them every Christmas. But why do those songs resonate with me when the other hymns that are not, you know, considered seasonal or Christmas songs, they don't, you know, do it for me? Like, they just don't, I don't know, I just don't feel that way about them. Then I came to the conclusion of this, because I thought a lot about it. I've been thinking about it. I grew up listening to the Christmas hymns, even when I didn't grow up in church. I listened to those Christmas hymns for 30 years before I ever really had an understanding of God or Jesus. They were Christmas staples for me, just like putting up the Christmas tree, watching Christmas movies or cartoons, decorating the house, wrapping presents, putting up the lights. They just came with Christmas. Now, having come to faith in Jesus and learning about him and what we celebrate, like that he's the reason that we celebrate the season, those songs I love, you know, those Christmas hymns, they mean even more to me because I know that those songs are what they're talking about. I understand them on a whole other level. So now, in thinking about the people asking for the you know, the non-seasonal hymns, I finally get it. I do. I understand the wanting to hear those songs because you grew up with them. They became a staple of your church life. And it makes way more sense now to me. So I get it. I get it. I understand. But that doesn't mean you're going to be getting what you're asking for. I'm not saying you won't get them either, but it's hard for me because I didn't grow up in the church listening to hymns. I don't have that connection to them. I don't find them to be so superior to the contemporary worship songs that I do connect with. Also, here's another thing. God placed me here in this church to be the worship pastor, lead my team, lead the congregation in worship. So I think, I know, he knows my heart and my vision and what I do. And it seems to be working for the most part. Can I throw in another hymn here and there? Possibly, sure. But at the same time, I don't think I'm in the minority when it comes to thinking or feeling the way that I do about hymns. Because I think there are a lot of people who didn't grow up in church, and the hymns don't mean the same thing to them either, just like me. I think they hear some of the new stuff that I use, that, and that's what moves the needle for them internally. So let's take, like, for instance, the new songs from, there's a new song from Brandon Lake called Hard Fought Hallelujah. Leading up, before it was even released, there was a buzz, and I had a lot of people, a couple of my friends even on the worship team, they were telling me about it, saying, I have to do it when it comes out. I didn't even know what they were talking about. I just knew Brandon Lake has a new song. You got to do it when it comes out. Then when it came out on that Friday, I had about 12 people message me saying they love it and when am I going to play it? So I scheduled it for the following week. And in the meantime, I don't know, I got maybe like 20, 25 more texts and messages with songs, and I got tagged into a video by a bunch more people. That tells me that there's a desire, a hunger for these contemporary songs. But at least the population that's not so connected to the hymns of the yesteryear. Like, they want these. So you know what? Next week, I'm going to do... Here's what I'm going to do. Next week, I'm going to do a deep dive into the topic of hymns and contemporary music. the comparisons and what people think about each, etc., and how they connect us with God. Because a couple weeks ago, I screenshotted this post from a grumpy get off my lawn, holier than thou Christian, blasting contemporary Christian music, saying it's leading people away from the church, big C, leading us away from Christ. You know, that old chestnut. And I think it's time we, meaning me, discuss it, if the contemporary songs are really, you know, evil, and the only good and worthwhile thing to sing is a good old hymn. I think you know where I'm going to land on that, but I'll try to be fair and objective on the subject. I do know that there are and can be problematic or controversial aspects of the contemporary Christian music songs. Like, I know some that are controversial as it is. So I will take that all into account. But circling back to my original thoughts on today's devotional regarding Christmas music, secular versus hymns or whatever, I think you should give me some credit, because I can now empathize, understand where the hymn requesters are coming from. They want that warm piece of apple pie, that comfort, that tradition they get from singing the hymns that they grew up with, grew up hearing and singing in church from the time they were little to now. Luckily, I do all the old Christmas hymns, so they have that. I mean, I'll be doing over this Christmas season, I think 12 or 13 Christmas hymns. And I mean, I'm also going to be doing some cool contemporary Christmas songs too. But if time were not an issue, which it is, I would love to do like 7 to 8 Christmas songs a week, every service, because there's so many good songs that I can't get to because I only have, you know, 5 normally on a Sunday. I push it a little bit more when we get to right before Christmas, but there's so many songs that I listen to that I love that are Christmas songs that I want to do. And circling back again, I believe, had I not grown up listening to all those Christmas hymns, meaning I grew up on if I grew up in the Amazon rainforest or under some rock somewhere and never heard a Christmas song in my life, there's no way I would attend a service somewhere and think that the old Christmas hymns were, you know, like the end all be all of holiday music. Nor would I be cruising around in my car and all of a sudden hear "I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas" and not hit the skip button. Because when I hear that now, oh, we're listening to it and I'm singing along. So now that I've come around, discovered, having empathy for the people who really want to hear and request the hymns, maybe they can find it in their heart to do the same for the population who did not grow up with those hymns, and they don't have any emotional connection with them. It's called a two-way street, folks. That's all I'm saying. So next week should be fun. We're going to talk about, you know, a more in-depth hymns versus contemporary worship discussion. Not so much versus as a comparison, if you will. I'm going to be objective. I'm going to look at some, I got a lot of research to do, a lot of stuff. Lots going to go into a lot of work. So, yeah. Oh, and by the way, I told you that I was driving to Columbia. I've driven to Columbia quite a bit this past couple weeks due to trying to find a new place for my daughter to live. And I've went to 14 or 15 different complexes, for apartment complexes. And I'm not a fan of Columbia, number one. It's not the greatest place. But looking at these apartments, I was telling Lauren, it's kind of like you're looking at pigs and you're trying to figure out what shade of lipstick to put on it. And you don't feel good about any of them. It's just not good. I just want to share you with this. We thought we found a place for her. And we went to walk, we got the keys to it after a long drawn out argument deal that I'm not going to get into. We walked into that apartment, and it's a townhouse, really. She was going to have the basement bedroom. Then there's the first floor, which has the kitchen, living room area. Then the upstairs has 2 other bedrooms. Let me just say, walked in the front door, we're blasted with weed smell. Like, I don't know if this apartment has ever not had weed smoke in it. Looked in the kitchen. It was disgustingly dirty. Hasn't been swept. Hasn't been wiped down. Grease, dirt, nastiness everywhere. Go down to the basement where her room would be. Turn the lights on. Probably 8 to 10 squished palmetto bugs. So they weren't even dead because they had sprayed like an insecticide. These were killed. And if you also, if you're not from South Carolina or whatever, and you don't know what a palmetto bug is, that's just a cute term for giant cockroach. So they're all over and gross. So then I was like, no. And then we go to walk upstairs, hit the light. There's like water damage around the light switch, which is weird. But they told us before we went in there, it's going to be warm in there, but we turned the air on. Now it was only 40 or low 50s, high 40s when we were there. And I was like, why would they turn the air on? It's so weird. As I walked up the stairs to the bedrooms, it was over 100 degrees, which means they're killing bed bugs because you have to get the rooms up to 130, 140 degrees to kill those. And it was like, no, this is not going to work. And I can't imagine anybody just walking into that place being like, yeah, this is a nice place. I'm going to do it. And then we went to eat afterwards after we said we're not taking the room, whatever. And she's like, that was supposed to be furnished. There was no furniture. Like, this is crazy. But this is how we've seen all these places in Columbia, South Carolina. It's not great. Discouraged. She's got hopefully moving into another place in the next couple days. And I'm just preparing for the worst, hoping for the best, praying for all this to work out. But when we got to that one where we were walking into that, before we even got there, I was praying for God because I didn't have a good feeling about it. I'm like, this is not the right place. God just slammed this door closed. And he sure did because it was terrible. So, yeah, that's all I have for you today. That last little bit probably didn't need to share, but I share anyways. That's what I do. So you have a good one. I'll see you next Wednesday where we talk about contemporary music and hymns. Have a good one. We'll be right back.